This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
So Thursday, that means we connect with Wendy Christin. She's a health coach and a wellness practitioner. She's from Integrated Health Solution. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Brad.
Are we ready to talk about things that are going to make us our mouths water and make us lust for something to eat? I think that's where we're going. Last week was all about the garlic. Today it's all about the ginger. So let's talk about ginger, because we all know a remedy, you know, something for the throat, something for the voice, something for well-being, something in the pot, particularly with food from sort of Southeast Asian style cooking. We all have a recipe. We all use it. Now I guess we can chat about how good it is for us.
Yes, so ginger has very many beneficial compounds and is good for our health and well-being on multiple levels. So, yeah, it's an interesting spice or herb. It sort of falls into that category. It's part of the Zingiberaceae or Zingiber family.
True.
And it's actually a root, and that's the edible part. So it really does have many, many good and beneficial properties.
So now you used a very fancy word there, the Watsakhuta Zingiberaceae family. We know you're very clever. You make us sound very foolish. So now, so we know that it's the root part that's used, and there's a lot that you can do with it. I like the flavor in if it's sliced up almost julienne, as they say, in sort of Asian cooking in a stir fry. I'm quite keen on that. But I don't like it if you put it in a tea or make a tea out of it with some lemon and honey. That doesn't appeal to me. So one thing that's great about it is its versatility.
It is extremely versatile, yes. So it can be used in teas. It can be used in foods. It can be used for multiple applications. So, you know, in teas and along with honey and lemon can be very beneficial for the sore throat that you mentioned earlier, or if you're just feeling under the weather and flu-y. The ginger is very beneficial there, and it's potent as well.
Yeah.
I think that can also, especially if it's in a tea, can also affect how a person enjoys it or not.
So why is it so good for us?
It has many beneficial properties. It is a natural anti-inflammatory. It has antimicrobial properties, which means that it kills off microorganisms, so it acts a little bit like an antibiotic. It has antioxidant properties, so it kills off, or doesn't kill off, but it gets rid of the cellular debris, and it helps for cell regeneration, which is really nice. We need that to prevent us from aging too quickly. It's great for nausea and for digestive assistance.
Wow.
And it often is used for blood sugar control as well, so you might see it in your blood sugar supplements, but even if you're just using it in a tea or in your food, it helps to control your blood sugar nicely. And it keeps your cholesterol at a reasonable level. And then obviously it can be used for weight support and for hydration purposes.
Wow. I mean, this one little root, the more we talk about these things like we did yesterday or last week, I beg your pardon, with the garlic, just this idea, and there's so many more, and I hope we can pick these conversations up as we go ahead, but these everyday things that are so incredibly powerful. I love that the stuff's right there, naturally available. We don't have to, unless something is more serious, and I'm sure you'll give us allow us to think more clearly on this, but we don't always need to reach for something pharmaceutical. There's something natural waiting for us to use.
Absolutely. And another thing is that this is so easy to grow as well. You know, I had a sprouting piece of ginger in my fruit bowl last year. And I thought, oh, I don't want to throw this away. So I stuck it in my garden, and it produced the most lovely ginger this year. So, you know, it's not a difficult thing to grow. So we do have it readily available. We don't necessarily have to go and spend the thousands of rands on it, because it has become quite expensive in the stores. But, you know, it is something that we can. You just need to be patient and wait for it to do its thing in the ground.
Yeah, I would know. I have no idea what a ginger plant would look like. So even if there was one growing in my garden, I'd have absolutely no idea. I only know what it looks like under the ground. So this,
yeah, you don't actually know what it looks like. It just sprouts these leaves, and then you've kind of got to dig around the bulb to see what's happening. You can't see what's going on under the soil.
Well, something you mentioned last week, which I think is applicable, it seems applicable here, is you can also buy ginger chopped up already, which you could use in your cooking. Does that lead us to the same process of oxidization, or oxidation, better said, that you mentioned last week that happens to chopped up garlic that you buy pre-chopped?
I think it's probably a slightly less, it would oxidize definitely, I think there'd probably be slightly less of an oxidization process with ginger as there would be with garlic, because garlic is a lot more sulfurous. But I would still prefer to use it fresh. Whenever you can use it fresh, or if it's powdered, dried, any of those in those forms would be a better way to use it.
Yeah, freshest is always best. Is there a possibility that somebody might be intolerant to ginger or even allergic to ginger?
Absolutely. So as with anything, people can have a negative reaction. And with all herbs and spices or natural medicines, overconsumption can be a problem. But you can also have an allergy or be intolerant to it.
So how would you know? What are we looking for? What signs might be a giveaway that there's an intolerance?
Well, people, if you consume ginger, you might experience heartburn or digestive discomfort. So the very thing that you're trying to treat, like the bloating and the heartburn and those kind of things, could be aggravated by ginger. You could have flatulence, and it can also cause a burning sensation in the mouth. So when your mouth is tingling or burning after you've eaten ginger, then you know to avoid that.
Well, it's pretty spicy anyway, so I'm guessing something that would linger longer than a normal ginger zing, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm quite liking this. These conversations make me feel hungry. So let's talk about the best way to chop it up if we're going to be making a tea, for example, that you said is great for anti-inflammatory or anything like that. What's the best way to go about that?
Yeah, so you can just chop your ginger fairly roughly. It doesn't have to be in tiny, tiny pieces. It can be grated. So if you actually like the ginger itself, you can grate it finely into some boiling water, and you can just drink it like that. Or if you just want to flavor the water, you chop it fairly roughly, you can leave the skin on, and you can steep water over it. So you can either pour boiling water over it, or you can put it in a pot and you can bring it to the boil, and you can leave it for 10 to 15 minutes. And at that stage, the water will have been infused with a flavor, and then you can just drink it like that.
Yes, and this doesn't include ginger beer, people, the one that's got just the artificial flavoring with 10 cups of sugar. That's not on the list here. Right,
no,
Wendy?
Not the same. But you can also use it to flavor kombucha, which is another healthy way to get it in. So you add it to your kombucha at the last stage. So once you've actually taken your kombucha organism out of the brew that you've been making, you can add the ginger while you're allowing it to ferment for another few days. And it gives your kombucha a really nice ginger beery type flavor, which is great.
Never had kombucha. Always wonder, how is it going to taste? Is it going to be worth it? So do you enjoy it?
I have had it before, and it is quite pleasant. But if you haven't had it for a long time, or if it's the first time, you really need to start slowly, because it can have some digestive consequences.
Yes.
So it's not,
thanks
not
for the warning.
You want to be gulping down by the glassful if you're not used to it.
Thanks for the warning. We're talking about ginger here. So if there's an intolerance, does that mean even a ginger in a supplement form would be out of the question? Or is there a safe way to consume it to get the benefits of it, even if there's an intolerance? Or does that just mean, sorry, it's out of the question?
Yeah, if there's an intolerance, it's generally out of the question in any form. And you also need to be aware that ginger can interact negatively with some medications. So if you are on a lot of medication, or if there's anything that you're concerned about, it is always a good idea to check and make sure that there aren't any interactions. So speak to your doctor or speak to a health professional and check that through.
Yeah, best to get that checked out. Why not connect with Wendy Christine? She's a health coach and a wellness practitioner. She's at Integrated Health Solution. You'll find her in Durbanville. You just do a quick Google and you'll easily find it, and you can go and check in with her and get all of your questions answered. Wendy Christine, thank you so very much. And we'll pick up this conversation staying with the herbs and spices again next week. And things we use it's in that kitchen drawer, in that little plastic drawer in your fridge, and you think it just makes your food taste good. What happens if it's really good for you as well? And what happens if it's possibly the thing causing some of the minor health concerns that you have? You just didn't know. Wendy will answer that again for us next week. Thanks, Wendy. We love hanging out with you. Thanks for today.
It's a pleasure, Brad. Have a great Thursday. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.